Welcome to the Real Estate Syndication Show. Whether you are a seasoned investor or building a new real estate business, this is the show for you. Whitney Sewell talks to top experts in the business. Our goal is to help you master real estate syndication. And now your host, Whitney Sewell.
This is your daily real estate syndication show. I'm your host, Whitney Sewell. Today, our guest is Darren Garman. Thanks for being on the show, Darren.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to chatting with you today.
Me as well. And just especially from what we've been talking about before the show, and I'm really looking forward to this. I know a lot of the listeners, they need to perk their ears up and listen. So hopefully they can find a deal and find some properties the way you have been doing it. And so I'm looking forward to getting into this. But a little about Darren, in case you don't know him. He's the author of 5 multifamily investing books, has raised over $100 million for investment in Iowa for multifamily. He's a former Iowa prison guard as well. So Darren, thank you again for being on the show. I'm really looking forward to this, just from what I know so far. But give the listeners a little more about your all's real estate background and your company, your focus right now.
Yeah, our company for the last going on 30 years now is mainly focused on multifamily. We got our start about that time. And I was one of these guys that went to college and I got a degree in something not even related to real estate. I got a criminology degree, and first job out of college was working in a prison of all places. And did that for a few years, and not surprisingly found out that maybe I wouldn't want to do that for the rest of my life. Not that that's a bad job, but you know, there's a lot of challenges involved in that. But even at that time, I really thought real estate, especially multifamily, would be fun. Not only that, but be profitable too. You'll make a little bit more money. About a little over 30 years ago, I jumped out of that prison guard job, jumped into the investment real estate business, specifically multifamily. Started really about the first 12, 13 years as a real estate broker with me. So I kind of became in the eastern Iowa area, eastern half of the state, kind of became the go-to guy for those folks that were looking at either purchasing or selling their apartment communities. And I spent 12, 13 years being a sales guy and didn't own a damn thing. And I thought, you know what, I better start changing this and seeing the results that my clients were getting in terms of what they were getting out of their multifamily community. So 15, 16 years ago, jumped into that, owning our own apartment communities full time, and I've had a blast ever since.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, you went to college, got a degree. And did you pay for that degree while working in the prison?
I was fortunate enough to go on a football scholarship. So I played football, went to school, but it's really funny because when I got out of college, I wanted to be the FBI, CIA guy you see on all these dramatic TV shows, like CSI Miami. And I honestly thought that's kind of the way it was.
They paint a good picture, don't they?
Yeah. And so, wow, that's going to be great. And that's exciting. And imagine getting out of college and thinking you're going to be doing that. And then you're working at a prison in northeastern Iowa. A little bit of a difference. Yeah.
I'm more familiar with that position than you might know. So yeah, I don't blame you a bit. You got the multifamily bug or real estate, and you became a broker. And say, you know, 12 to 13 years, you didn't own any property.
Right.
And so, you know, what clicked that said, wait a minute, you know, I've been doing this 12, 13 years. Maybe I should make a change.
I have to admit, it wasn't my own volition on the light bulb going off in my head. It was actually one of my clients that I'd worked with on quite a few of his purchasing transactions over the years, was interested in another community that was for sale. And I commented to him, I said, hey, you know, I'd like to own this too. And I said it more off the cuff than being serious, because I was not only promoting it as a broker, and that was part of it, but I thought it'd be a good property to own, but I was like half serious. And so he said, well, hey, you know what we should do? We should put together a little partnership. Why don't I buy it? Why don't you come into it with me? You put some money into it too. And this specific gentleman lived out of state. And he said, why don't you do the managing and kind of overseeing it for me? I'll pay you for it. And that way you're in it. You own the property. I'm in it. I've got, you know, the experience as an owner, and we'll see how this goes. And I went through and we did that, and it turned out to be really, really good. And that was really what got the fire lit under me in terms of really getting serious about owning multifamily property.
Wow. From your experience in this area, do you feel that's a good approach for some buyers to say, you know, say to the broker, would you like to be a partner on this project?
Yes, I do. And more brokers would do it than you probably would think. And having those brokers as somebody on your team can be really valuable. Surprising thing, a lot of brokers don't own multifamily properties, especially those that may specialize in it or work with companies that do spend a lot of time in the multifamily world. And having those guys on your team is actually not a bad thing. And I think more brokers would participate and be involved than what you would think.
Are there any kind of issues there? If it's a large brokerage, or would there be any issues there with approaching, you know, one of them to do for that offer?
Potentially there could be. There may be some conflict of interest things that they may have to deal with, of course. Some companies may even have rules that prohibit them from doing that. But there are, in many markets, brokers that really specialize in, so for example, multifamily is my world. You know, there are brokers around a lot of markets that specialize in multifamily that would not be prohibited when it comes to that. If you think that it would be a good idea to have someone like that on your team, now remember, a partnership, now, I mean, it's a hell of a lot easier to get into a partnership than get out of one. That broker's got to pass probably some litmus tests in terms of somebody that you would obviously trust and someone you think would be a good member of your team. And you know, that's probably another discussion for another time. But at the end of the day, they've got to kind of qualify for that. And if you think you've got a qualified person, a broker that could join your team, having them as a resource, not only in helping you with your operations of your property, with a lot of the things that you're dealing with, but also other purchasing opportunities in the future, I mean, it's definitely not a bad thing to pursue.
Well, I don't want to spend much more time until we get right to the meat of it, Darren. I know you have a unique skill that I feel like so many of the listeners and myself can benefit from. So I want to get right into it. But you've purchased 400 units in the last year direct to the seller, direct seller, no broker involved. And so I want to get into that. I know we can all benefit from that conversation and from you sharing about that. Any quick tips as far as, or anything you want to highlight though, as far as working with a broker, success that you've had working with brokers? I mean, you being one, I mean, you got some insight there that a lot of us wouldn't have as well. And even just understanding the relationship component is that of that as well, being in that business on that side 12 or 13 years. Anything you can highlight there before we move to actually working directly with sellers?
Good question. I'll highlight probably one thing. It's kind of a big thing, and it's not going to be a surprise to your audience, but it is something that I think maybe some of us investors don't think about enough. And that is alignment with a specific broker and continued relationship and alignment with that specific broker. Rather than playing the game of having as many brokers out there working for you as possible, trying to find you the best deal, because logically, that sounds like that may be the right thing to do, because theoretically, you may have more deals cross your desk with more brokers out there looking. Well, I think what you would find is by aligning yourself with one specific broker that specializes in the area that you really, really want to focus on and building that relationship with them, they will basically go above, most of them, if they're good, they'll go above and beyond, and at the end of the day, find you more quality deals that you'd want to own versus getting you more deals with maybe 50 to 60% or more that you wouldn't have any interest in owning, but just sending you stuff just to send you stuff. I found that by aligning yourself specifically with that one broker and really becoming a part and being a team with them, what they'll be able to do for you and going out into the market, unturning all those stones, trying to find you the project that hopefully works the best for you, that's the best way to go. In my opinion, that's the best way to go versus having a whole bunch of people that you don't really have a relationship with trying to find stuff that they'll shotgun to you and hope that you may purchase.
Is there a specific cadence you recommend, you know, a frequency of following up and connecting with them in person versus through email or text?
Are you talking about maybe the specific broker maybe to bring on your team? Is that what you're asking?
You were talking about just focusing on that one broker that knows the area really well. You know, just trying to build that relationship. I know we have lots of experienced operators that listen, but then there's also lots of listeners who they're maybe nervous about that, the conversations with brokers initially, or wondering, well, how often is too often to communicate and reach out to them and that type of thing?
Oh, okay. So the first thing you're going to want to do is you're going to want to find the person that's the specialist in that market. I mean, that's what they do. Whether it's multifamily specialist or whatever investment property you're looking for. You don't want to make the mistake of just looking for a real estate agent that might be your brother or your cousin's, you know, son or something. You want to make sure you get the specialist. In communicating with that specialist, it's pretty simple. I mean, you give them a call and you let them know exactly what you're looking for and what you want to accomplish. And on that call, especially the first call, and by the way, I'm saying call, not email, not text. On that call, you basically tell them, you say, look, I'm looking to align myself with somebody with a long-term relationship. And you have that conversation with them, letting them know that that's what you're looking for. Part of that conversation will probably be some back and forth regarding criteria and what you're looking for and what you want to accomplish. And at the end of that, you should have at least a feeling that this broker is now going to be going out into the marketplace and getting information to you that's going to be helpful for you to find that property. Once that part is done with you, then you want to be communicating with that broker probably every couple of weeks and just be basically saying, hey, have you found anything? What's going on out there? And it can be longer than that, maybe 2-3 weeks. An email's fine. A text is fine. Hey, just checking in, seeing what you're finding out there. And if they're good, they will continue to get good projects to you. Now, there may be a period where maybe some of those properties might not be exactly what you're looking for. There may be maybe kind of a break-in period there, and they may get you some things that may not exactly fit your criteria. But by continuing to work with them and communicating with them like that, it's going to solidify that relationship, and eventually they're going to come up with something that's going to make a heck of a lot of sense.
Well, I want to jump right in now to, or let's talk about how you're finding so many off-market properties, some techniques there that you're using, and how you've made that happen. It seems like a foreign topic almost to a lot of people that are doing larger multifamily. It's not something that could even be done, or you just focus on that relationship with the brokers, and don't even talk about that. Don't even focus on that thing over there of contacting sellers, like maybe you would focus on if you were doing single family or small multis. Get us started and maybe a process and how you've been so successful.
I mean, the first thing before I get into the exact process that we use and we've been real successful with is we don't abandon using brokers.
Sure.
And we don't abandon doing things on our own, like, being members of meetup groups or landlord groups or mastermind groups. So we still do those things. So we really have really kind of two flows of potential properties coming across our desk. You've got the using the broker, of course, and then doing some of those personal things like the landlord groups and the meetup groups and those kinds of things. But one area that most investors know about, so what I'm going to talk about is, it's not a mystery here. This isn't something no one's heard of. But what most investors don't really spend enough time on is consistently contacting the owners of the apartment communities that you think you'd want to own. And so when I say that, there's probably a lot of investors that have done this. Maybe they've sent letters out. Maybe they've even called these owners. And maybe they've even had some personal conversations with them. However, I can guarantee that 99% of the investors that are watching or listening do not do this on a consistent basis. They maybe do it once a year, maybe twice a year, maybe once every couple of years. Well, here's what we found over the years. By consistently communicating with and contacting these owners, once they decide they want to sell, because here's the problem that we've got as investors. The problem is these owners don't want to sell when we're ready because we're basically always ready. They want to sell when they're ready. It makes me kind of grouchy just thinking about it because
that's a problem, isn't it?
We want to buy stuff all the time. We want the good deals all the time. But the problem is, they're ready when they're ready. So when they're ready, Whitney, I want to be one of the first people they think of when that happens. I can tell you most owners, not all, do not want three brokers parading into their office, giving them a PowerPoint presentation on how much money they can get them if they listed the property with them for sale. They would rather, hey, I know this Darren Garman guy. He's been communicating with me now for about 3 years. He keeps telling me he has an interest in buying my property. Let's call him. And so what happens is they end up calling us. And as you mentioned, last year, for example, we purchased 400 units with owners directly contacting us, bypassing brokers, or any other ways of getting a deal done. Now, here's what that does. That eliminates so much competition for these properties. Okay, so you know as well as I do, you know, the norm nowadays is what they call for offers. So call for offers is basically a protracted, prolonged auction process where basically the high price gets the property. Well, that's the worst way to buy property. Not only if you buy it are you paying more than you probably should be, but if you don't, you're maybe a little bit pissed off you missed out on it. Well, a great way to even bypass that is have the owners contact you directly. And when we figured out that this was a really good formula to use, this is what we spend probably 80% of our time on, is contacting and building relationships with these owners. Again, we still use brokers. We still do things on our own, but we spend a lot more time in communicating with these owners. Again, the key word here is consistently.
You say 80% of your time. You just mean like of the time you would be normally looking for deals or contacting brokers, you're spending 80% now of that actually being consistently reaching out to sellers of properties that you're interested in.
That's correct. So if you took all the time that we spent on, let's just classify it, and looking for deals, 80% of that time is spent on finding those apartment communities that we want to own, and then finding out who owns those communities, and then developing a process of communicating with those owners of those communities.
How do you find them?
Well, the first thing that we'll do is, every state's probably a little bit different, so I'm going to be talking about what we do here in the great state of Iowa. We go ahead and we'll contact the city or the county tax assessor. So the city or the county tax assessor will have the owner information. And we'll find these properties by many ways, but usually we'll do an online search and figure out online and if the properties meet our criteria based on size and location. We may even do some driving. We may even use some what used to be called shoe leather work. We'll get in our cars or our vehicles and drive around and check and see if we find any communities that meet our criteria. But once we do that, go ahead and we'll contact the city or the county tax assessor, and they will have the owner's contact information. But here's a problem that many people will run into at this point and stops them. That contact information is only in the name of usually an LLC or a corporation. So the next step then is, if we find that, we'll then get in touch with the Secretary of State. And the Secretary of State will have information on that company and that company's principals, because that company will have to have registered with the Secretary of State in order to do business in that state. And so we'll go to the tax assessor first, usually the tax assessor's website, county tax assessor or city. We'll find out the owner's information. And if it happens to be a company, our next step then is Secretary of State, which will have that contact information there 99% of the time. And then that's where we find out who owns the property.
Awesome. Okay, so now we have an entity name and potentially the owner's name themselves, hopefully an address or something we can look up. So how are we going to contact them? What's going to be our first contact? You know, how do you all do that and how often?
This is so easy. It's almost comical, Whitney, how easy this is. Literally anybody can do it. And as long as you're consistently doing it, I mean, that's really the key to this whole thing. Okay, so here's what I mean. Once we've got that information, our first contact with them is a letter. Let me emphasize that our communications to them are not what I call institutional. We'll send them a letter, and we are very informal in our communications with these owners. So, in other words, we don't send them a letter that's got crayon all over it and spilled coffee. Okay, we don't do that. But it doesn't look like something that's been generated by some big Fortune 500 company. So the letter will basically say something to the effect of, you know, we've noticed your property at 123 Main Street. It really meets the criteria. We're looking at buying up to, let's just say, 200 apartment units. We've seen your property at 123 Main Street. It seems to meet our criteria. We'd love to have a conversation with you about purchasing that property. If you'd have an interest in entertaining an offer on that property, here's our contact information. Please get in touch with us. So that's how we start. Now, let me ask you a question. I'm going to put you on the spot. We send that letter out. It's the first time those owners get that letter. What percentage of owners contact us telling us we're ready to go? We want to sell. What do you think?
0.02%.
You know what? That's pretty damn good. That's exactly probably it. So hardly any of them. So we do that knowing, we know, unless the timing is absolutely perfect, these owners will not contact us right away letting us know that. So we put them into what we call our prospecting calendar. So now what that means is every 60 days, they're going to get either another direct mail piece from us, a phone call from us. You know, later in the process, if we start developing a relationship with them, there's some dialogue, we'll get an email address, or if we find their email address, they'll get an email from us. So now, no matter what happens here, every 60 days they hear from us. So let's say 60 days go by. Now what do? We may send them an interesting article about what rents are doing in the marketplace that this community is located in. Then let's say another 60 days go by. We may let them know that the property on the other side of the city we just purchased and the transaction went smooth. It went great. We bought it for X amount of dollars a unit. And oh, by the way, Mr. Owner, we'd sure like to have a shot at your property if and when it becomes available. So it's really about every 60 days having an excuse to contact them, keep in front of them, letting them know not only that you're interested in purchasing their property at some time, but the other key to that, Whitney, is you provide them some interesting information, either if it's about the marketplace, maybe about their property, maybe about a competing property. It's really easy to sit down and make a list of some things and excuse to get in contact with these folks and just communicate with them about every 60 days. Now, here's what's going to happen. What will happen is eventually they're going to contact you. All right? Eventually they will contact you. That first contact usually isn't a, we're ready to sell. It's usually, hey, you sent me that article about what rents are doing there in Cedar Rapids. Kind of give me an idea what's going on there. So you have that conversation. Now you see what start to develop here, a little bit of a relationship. So now after that conversation, I've talked to the owner personally. Maybe I've got their email address. Maybe I even got their direct email address. Now, maybe 60 days later, I might send them a video. Hey, you check out this video on what apartment sales are doing and what the trends are over the last 4 months. So there's, again, an excuse. And so what usually happens is you go from uninvited guest over a period of time, now you're someone that they actually look forward to hearing from and maybe even want to talk to and reach out to you from time to time to maybe have a conversation, get your take on something, maybe get some information from you on maybe what's going on, or even have some questions about their own community or maybe some management things as well.
I appreciate you laying that out. And I know a lot of people that are used to doing flipping or finding single family homes, they're doing letters just constantly. They're on that routine. But I feel like there's like this mind block for people that are looking for, say, larger multifamily. You know, you just don't feel like it's possible to find that 200 unit deal direct from seller. It's very interesting, you know, but tell me what's been some of the most common responses or maybe length of time it's taken. What's maybe the quickest or the longest success rates that you've had with that?
I'm going to back up and just mention something that's very important for listeners and viewers to know. These folks making these decisions and that you'll be ultimately dealing with, they're not as sophisticated as you think. And so just to give you an example, in January of this year, I got a call from an owner of 120 units, lives in Utah, offices out of Utah. They own property in Iowa, 120 units. He called me because it's the second mailing he got from us in the last year, year and a half, that had a refrigerator magnet in the mailing. And the refrigerator magnet basically says, hey, when you're interested in selling your apartment community, give us a call, send us an email. We'd love to talk to you. Now, how sophisticated is that?
Okay. So you see, you were sending out a refrigerator magnet.
Yeah, a refrigerator magnet in a letter that said, hey, we have an interest in buying your property with a refrigerator magnet. So this guy calls me and he said, how many other owners are you sending this out to? This is really good stuff. He said, let's talk about what we want to do. So we proceeded to talk about buying his 120 units, which was consisted of three different properties. At the end of the day, We didn't get the deal put together because we just couldn't come together on price. But the point is, here's a guy that's running multiple tens and hundreds of millions of dollars of property, getting our refrigerator magnet and letter in the mail, calling me saying that it's not only something that got his attention, but wanted to know, hey, how many other people are you sending this out to? So don't overthink this. Again, it gets back to when they're ready, not when we're ready. And so if I were to give you an average, I would say the amount of time is anywhere between 2.5 and 3.25 years by the time this pays off. So when I say that, some people may be thinking, gosh, you mean I got to do something every 60 days in communicating with these people for 2.5 to 3.25 years? Think about this, if that's what you're thinking. Think about the amount of money or time you're spending on this, which probably per owner is not that much. But then the amount of payoff that you have as a result of them finally contacting you makes it not only worthwhile financially, it makes it worthwhile when you're talking about building the empire. So when you want to continue to build the empire and you've got hundreds of owners, maybe even thousands of owners, depending on the market and how aggressive you get with this, it really starts to build quickly. So there's no doubt it takes time, and it is a little bit like farming. Farming, the plants and the crops come up a little quicker, but if you have a little bit longer term outlook and know that you keep on making those deposits, it will pay off, and eventually you'll start gaining momentum, and it'll turn out just terrific.
Yeah, it just tells me that, hey, we better get started now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we're about out of time, unfortunately. You know, maybe we'll have you back. That'd be great and to further the conversation a little more. But is there anything else? I know you mentioned the magnets. Anything else that you've, to be creative, that you've sent sellers that have worked like that?
The biggest thing I would say about that is it's not so much about what they get, whether it's like maybe a magnet or maybe if you're sending a video. One of the things that we send is a magazine about the state of Iowa. Here's an update on what's going on, because a lot of owners, you know, they domicile outside of the state. So we'll do things like that. But the key here is when you communicate, and again, you only need to do this about every 60 days. You want to have some worthwhile, useful information in that communication, and you're not just asking them to sell you the property. That's the main thing. It can take really almost any kind of format. It can be really done in about any kind of way. Do you mention to them again that you're interested in buying their property? Sure you do. But the communication has to have some kind of value, something they'd be interested in knowing about their community, about the marketplace, about the economy, about many, many other things that directly would affect their ownership and what they've got with that community. As long as you do that every 2 months and between the lines and sprinkle in there, sometimes, hey, we're interested in buying your property. Sometimes you're more direct. Hey, you know, we want to buy it. Let's talk turkey. As long as you do that, but sprinkle in that good information, that's really where the rubber meets the road with you.
I like it. I think it's great advice, and it's neat to, you're not just coming up with this out of nowhere. I mean, you've had a lot of success. I mean, 400 units in the last year by doing that. So I think it's incredible advice. So a couple quick questions. What's your best source for finding investors right now?
Oh, gee, the best source right now as of today is really referrals. And I know that's a boring answer and that isn't a real sexy answer. But right now, as recording this, with the virus and the pandemic going on, there's a little bit of nervousness about any kind of investment out there, really.
Right.
And so what we found at this point anyway is those folks that have the longest track record with us is really where we're getting most of our investors currently.
What's the number one thing that's contributed to your success?
Hard work. That's really probably a cliche, but hard work and patience. You know, the other part of it, too, is not really being afraid of sticking your neck out there and getting involved in maybe larger properties, larger communities, or even properties that you think you may not be qualified for. In the beginning, I had no experience in real estate, no background. And so I was thinking, gee, maybe I should start with a 4-unit building or a 6-unit building. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. There's no wrong answer. But looking back on it now, I can tell you, should have started bigger. Had the capability to start bigger. If I would have had more confidence, I definitely would have done that. So hard work, patience, and stick your neck out there more than you think you're capable of. Get out of your comfort zone and you'll accomplish some interesting things.
How do you like to give back?
Oh, gee, that's a great question. Mainly through our church. That's probably the main way. You know, Gene and I were big supporters of our church, also of a couple of local universities too. We'll also do things with our tenants, with some of our apartment communities. We'll do the Christmas parties. We'll go ahead and have Santa Claus show up with gifts. As a matter of fact, in our staff meeting today, even with the social distancing, we're trying to plan out how can we have a barbecue for our tenants to attend? How can we do this? And so, you know, really our church, really a couple of universities that we're really heavily involved in, and then our tenants as well.
How can people get in touch with you, Darren, and learn more about you?
Probably the easiest way would be my website. It's got, you know, all the information about me and what we're up to and what we're doing. The website address there is darrengarman.com, and that's darrengarman.com. So www.darrengarman.com. Get an idea of what we're up to and what we're doing.
Awesome, Darren. That's a wrap. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you bet, buddy. I appreciate it.
Don't go yet. Thank you for listening to today's episode. I would love it if you would go to iTunes right now and leave a rating and written review. I want to hear your feedback. It makes a big difference in getting the podcast out there. You can also go to the Real Estate Syndication Show on Facebook so you can connect with me and we can also receive feedback and your questions there that you want me to answer on the show. Subscribe too so you can get the latest episodes. Lastly, I want to keep you updated, so head over to lifebridgecapital.com and sign up for the newsletter. If you're interested in partnering with me, sign up on the Contact Us page so you can talk to me directly. Have a blessed day, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Real Estate Syndication Show, brought to you by LifeBridge Capital. LifeBridge Capital works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate, while also donating 50% of its profits to assist parents who are committing to adoption. LifeBridge Capital, making a difference, one investor and one child at a time. Connect online at www.lifebridgecapital.com for free material and videos to further your success.